Let's turn to our first scripture reading. It's on that insert in your bulletin. You may have already picked it up off the floor once today, but it's Psalm 133, a rather short psalm, but in the brief verses there, terrific imagery and terrific movement. Let's read this responsively and listen for a word from God. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity.
It is like the precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the hollow of his brows.
Our second lesson today comes from Philippians, a very familiar chapter, chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. Listen now for a word from God. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, the last 2 weeks have been terrific if you are a soccer fan. It's been awesome. If you're not a soccer fan, I'll wake you up at the right time. But if you're a soccer fan, it's been great. Right now, the Euro competition is happening, UEFA Euro 16. You've got teams from England and Portugal, and you've got, who else is in there? Wales managed to eke on through. Lots of great soccer stars, lots of hair gel involved. I don't know how Cristiano Ronaldo is able to play 90 minutes and his hair never moves, not once. But anyway, also another great soccer competition that's finishing up is the Copa America. Our U.S. team got fourth, which is no small feat. So tonight is the final between Argentina and the team that will lose to Argentina, or as I like to call them, Chile. We'll see what happens. You know who I'm rooting for. It's finally time for Messi to earn his stripes. So, but I want to show you some pictures of some guys from the U.S. national team. This first picture is Clint Dempsey. That's not what he looks like. Well, actually, that's what he looks like at night. That's what he looks like during the day. There's Clint Dempsey, good old number 8, sort of an elder statesman of the team. Yeah, that's Clint Dempsey. I don't know what you're talking about. So, hey, let's not repeat the children's sermon, guys, all right? I'll tell you when it's time to blur it out. So that's Clint Dempsey. Number 8, sort of an elder statesman of the team. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I see Clint Dempsey, I know that his church doesn't have a June focus on health, because I always wonder about his sleep hygiene. He always looks like he's been up for 3 weeks, or that maybe he's in a fight club of some kind, and he's been punched in both eyes. He just kind of looks awful to me. But that's Clint Dempsey. He scored over 50 goals in his career for the U.S. Here's another slide. It's a picture of a guy called Jesse Zardes. I don't believe he's a natural blonde, But he's an amazing player. He's 24. I have big hopes for him for the World Cup coming up in 2 years. He's a great player to watch, very skilled. Here's another one. Here's another picture. This next slide is of a guy called Kyle Beckerman. Now, he's a favorite of mine. No, go back to Kyle. We need to spend a little time on Kyle. No, the other Kyle, the third Kyle. There's Kyle, and then the next slide, which is also Kyle. It'd be easier if they were all called Kyle. So anyway, Kyle, number 14 here, he's a midfielder. And if you look at him, I sort of feel like his tactic for getting other players off the ball is just by smelling bad. When you look at him, do you think this man smells like lavender? No. I sort of wonder what's in his hair. Like, maybe some old Grateful Dead ticket stubs, a half-eaten sandwich. I'm really not sure. But that's Kyle, and he's no longer a starter for the U.S., but he's a great substitute and a very good player. Now, let's look at the next slide. It's all the guys on the team. All different backgrounds, different colors of skin. You know, our team is very much a melting pot of different players from different backgrounds and different experiences, yet all together, all playing for the same team, for the same country, with the same purpose. And that's what Paul is talking about today in Philippians. He's talking about being united. He starts out the second chapter with great stuff. It's like Paul is saving it up. He's saving it up. He says, if then there is any encouragement in Christ, and Fred Craddock says we should always answer in our heads, and there is. If there's any consolation from love, and there is. If there's any sharing in the Spirit, and there is. If there's any compassion and sympathy, and there is. Make my joy complete, Paul says. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Do you have any idea what he wants to talk about? Being together, being united. He knows that we all can't be forwards. We all can't be defenders. We all can't be midfielders. We all can't be elders or deacons. You guys, we all can't be ushers. But we can be united. We can be on the same team. We can be in full accord and of one mind. He's talking about unity of purpose. Now, one thing when we talk about being united, and Paul uses the word same several times, we don't want to think that difference is not there. We don't want to think, as sometimes often happens, that difference is bad and difference needs to somehow be converted into sameness. What we want to do is remember what we say about the Trinity. We say God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And within the Trinity, there is difference. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Father. Each person in the Trinity is different. But there's unity of purpose. And so you and I, we're created, redeemed, sustained, protected, guided from the Father in the Son through the Spirit. Be united. That's what Paul wants us to be. He wants us to be united. And the way we can be united, the virtue that helps us be united, is humility. Humility helps us be united. Paul continues and says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, or as one translation has it, in humility of mind, regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. And then Paul makes this huge rhetorical move. It's amazing. He says, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And Paul quotes a hymn that everybody probably knew. Or if they didn't, everyone else did, and they learned about it pretty fast. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, being found in human form. He humbled himself and was obedient. Humility is the virtue that allows us to be united. But we have some problems with humility. The first problem we have with humility is, frankly, we're not that into it. Don't like humility. Remember that old Mac Davis song? Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. That's kind of how we are with humility, right? We're like, humility would be fine if I needed it, but I don't. That's one problem we have with humility. The other problem we have is we go all the way the other direction, and then we feel like to be humble, we need to be a punching bag. To be humble, we should be the mat that everyone wipes their feet on. That's not what humility is at all. Humility is to realize who you really are, child of God, a child of the covenant. And humility is to recognize who everybody else is, a child of God, a child of the covenant. Frederick Buechner, the Presbyterian writer and pastor, used to say, just look at in your mind, the worst person you see on the street, worst person, and say to yourself, Christ died for them, just as Christ died for me. Let me show you another slide. This is Roberta Bondi. Noah's not here right now. He'll be at second hour, so I'll make sure to tell him that she is a theologian and she is alive. She is a living theologian. Roberta Bondi, I had the privilege of being in a class of hers, and she teaches about church history and the desert fathers and mothers, those early Christians who in the fourth century, when Constantine declared that the empire was the religion of the world and Christianity was the religion of the empire, those folks really had struggles, and they left the cities because they weren't sure that you could be Christian. If everyone was just suddenly Christian, what did that mean to be a Christian? And so they had some soul searching to do, and they left the cities and went into the deserts surrounding the Nile River. And so this becomes sort of the seedbed for monasticism. And so Roberta Bondi has studied those folks a lot. And in her book, To Love as God Loves, she talks about humility and actually the power of humility. And she shares a story of a guy called Abba John the Dwarf. I love his name. Abba, father, sort of like, you know, Father Joe, Father Steve, Father John. But he's John the Dwarf, which makes me laugh. But this is what he says. She quotes him. Abba John the Dwarf said, "Who sold Joseph into slavery?" A brother replied, saying, "It was his brothers." "No," Abba John says, "it was his humility." Because he could have said, "I am their brother," and have objected. But because he kept silent, he sold himself by his humility. It was also his humility which set him up as chief in Egypt. And then Bondi continues, "According to these fathers, Joseph's refraining from acting in his own selling into Egypt and his insistence on giving up ordinary, apparently self-serving ways in Egypt put him in a position to wield much power in Egypt and to provide for his family during the famine in Palestine." It's kind of interesting way to interpret the scriptures there that Abba John has, but the notion that humility is powerful and that you and I, through humility, can be united. But why? Why be united? Other than we could say, well, seems better to be united than divided. Why be humble? Except, it seems like maybe we ought to be humble. Well, if we push Paul, why, Paul? Okay, so we know we need to be united. How? Through humility. Why? Paul doesn't expressly say today. But the great thing about reading the scriptures in context and reading them and letting the ideas build on one another and having the themes emerge is that as I kind of pushed against Paul, he pushed back, and I noticed something he said in last week's passage that seemed to be the most clear. He's talking with the Philippians, and he says, you know, he doesn't know if he's going to live or if he's going to die, if he's going to go on to be with Christ, or he might return to be with them. And he says this in verse 27 of chapter 1. Whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind. First time he ever used that word mind, which sort of sets up what's going to come next. So standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel. So be united. How? Through humility. Why? For the faith of the gospel. It's about the faith of the gospel. It's about us being faithful to the gospel, and it's about our calling as the church to the one who gives us the gospel. This is what we're called to do, to be faithful. So now we can get a little bit wild, like the children's time, and we can play a game. In a minute, a slide is going to appear, and when you see it, when you see the slide, I want you to say the one word that you associate with this image. Okay? You got it? You got the rules for the game? Okay. Go ahead, BJ. Right. Nike is the word, the single word. Maybe some of you are thinking swoosh a little bit, and others are going on to Oregon State and all sorts of things like that. Okay, now, go back to that. Go back to the swoosh there. Now, when I count to three, I want you to say the three words that you associate with this image. The three words. One, two, three.
Just
man. Now, it's not. Okay, fade to black. Now, it's not like, oh yeah, there you go. Good, thank you. Thanks, Larry. Thanks very much. It's not like you've been studying this, right? It's not like this has been on your mind for a long time, and you've been really struggling existentially with Nike and their vision and how they've been in your head for many, many, many years. This is how well this company has been able to communicate its values, its vision, its mission. The mission statement of Nike is a little bit more confusing than just do it. It's something like, you know, Nike empowers every athlete through innovation and equipment or something like that. But, that's not wrong, but those words are in there. But we really think of the mission of Nike is just do it. Without looking in the bulletin, what would you say the church's mission statement is? You know, without cheating, don't cheat. Okay, so you've got, somebody knows a few words from it. That's very good. But most of us, if we're honest, other than the word maybe empower, it might be a little hazy. And that's not our fault, because church folk like words. We like words, and we like to use all of them. And none of us don't have the staff of Nike to figure out what a good mission statement is. I was doing a little work on mission statements this week, and I came across one bad example of a company that had a mission statement with six parts, 249 words. So we are not in the bad section of class at all. We are not in the classroom by the boiler at all. We're okay. But our mission might not be as clear as it could be. I've talked to you about this before, that every church strives to be faithful, strives to do what Paul wants the church in Philippi to do, what we want to do. And every church does the same stuff. We all do the same four things. We all worship. We all have some kind of education going on. We all do some kind of service and outreach. And we all fellowship. We share our lives together in the Spirit. Those are the four things that every church does. But our vision is different. Our vision is what focuses our mission, what helps us move from A to B, step by step, faithfully. So I've been talking with some people in the congregation, talking with folks on the session, and this is something that's emerged that I've been thinking about. Go ahead and show this next slide. Making disciples, changing lives. Pretty simple. You could remember that if you had to. Nothing to get you super excited, maybe, but nothing frustrates you either. As I've been thinking about these four words, I've been thinking about maybe adding two to the front: praising God, making disciples, changing lives. That's sort of satisfying. It's three things. There's kind of a rule of threes. And it's also Trinitarian, praising God the Father, making disciples as the Son would have us do, changing lives in the power of the Spirit. The Spirit is the agent of change. So that's sort of satisfying. But we want to think about how we can be more faithful and more intentional, and how we can be memorable, as good as just doing, right? Be united. How? Through humility. Why? To be faithful to the gospel, so that we might praise God and make disciples and change lives.